WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning, we're going to be focusing on your health. We have Dr. Lucas Ruth with us, and we're going to be talking about pain management and surgeries. So if you have any questions, just give us a call. You can call or text with your questions, and our phone number to talk or text on 615-893-1450. Did you get that? 615-893-1450. Dr. Ruth is with St. Thomas Rutherford Hospital right here in town. Dr. Ruth, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Bart. How are you doing?
Doing great. Good to have you with us today. Cold weather. We're certainly moving into cold weather. Snow in the forecast for this afternoon and tonight. Does that irritate people and make them have more pain, more arthritis or anything of that sort?
Interestingly enough, it does seem to. You know, I don't know the science behind it, but I actually had several patients come into my clinic yesterday for joint-related issues that tend to serve as their own barometer and have are cognizant of a exacerbation of their joint-related pain in the setting of bad weather. But again, I'm not sure the actual science behind it. It's a funny phenomenon.
Now, as far as pain management goes, is there anything that can be done to manage that pain?
There is. So I am a orthopedic surgeon. I specialize in hip and knee replacement surgery. And, you know, a lot of folks get a little bit concerned that surgery is the end-all, be-all when it comes to joint-related issues. But we do have a wide variety of conservative treatments, a mixture of oral medications, physical therapies, massage, as well as a series of different types of injections that help to mitigate symptoms and hopefully get many more mileage into the joints prior to having to consider surgery.
Okay, so there are some things you can do if you have hip or knee replacement symptoms.
Correct. Yeah. You know, the most important thing is maintaining an active lifestyle, not only for overall well-being and health, but to keep the joints moving, to prevent them from stiffening up, because that can correlate with a worse outcome later on. But a variety of medications are also very critical. You know, the foundation for it are typically the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, the Advils, the Aleves. We do have a variety of prescription anti-inflammatories that are very safe to use, with the caveat that with prolonged use, they can impact kidney function, and we do correspond with primary care physicians to monitor that, but they are safe for long-term use in the with appropriate follow-up. But you can really mitigate symptoms and restore healthy and pain-free lifestyles without any surgery.
Let me ask you this. Let's say a listener is feeling some of that pain right now. You said it's important to be active, mm-hmm. but somewhere along the line they had a slip-up, and they're starting to feel some pain when they move around. Is it ever too late to do something about that?
No, I think, you know, any time you have concerns about your own body, and certainly you as the individual, as the patient, is going to be much more cognizant of what's going on in your body than I, as kind of an interrogator and a physician, are. And so any time there's concerns for anything wrong for my practice, hip and knees, I would strongly encourage to seek out medical attention. Not only do you have to come to an orthopedic surgeon, you can go to your primary care physician and, if warranted, get some x-rays, possibly advanced imaging. But a lot of the American population will have the occasional aches and pains, and very few of those go on to require anything with too much intervention.
What should people be doing? I mean, when you say you need to move around, what kind of exercising? If somebody has not had a regimen of exercise.
Correct, yeah. So, you know, maintaining an active lifestyle, live your best life right now is our marketing slogan for TOA. People are often daunted by the thought of having to exercise on a arthritic hip or knee. With low-impact exercises such as a recumbent bike, swimming in a pool, using an elliptical machine, it takes away some of the pounding-type forces that the joint is seeing, is very good in raising the heart rate, getting you breathing faster, burning off calories. But more importantly, from a joint standpoint, it's very good to keep those joints moving, because an arthritic knee or a diseased joint will want to stiffen up. These low-impact exercises, a lot of benefit can be had.
Does everybody sooner or later have a form of arthritis?
That's a good question. You know, arthritis or osteoarthritis is a wear and tear phenomenon. So with age, we've put more mileage through our joints, and the cartilage does wear out. Thing that we have noticed, especially in the Southeast, has been the obesity epidemic, putting more weight across those joints and forces more stress upon that, and we see arthritis as a result of that. Arthritis, though, is not a normal part of aging. It is a disease process, but it is one commonly that we see with age. That being said, there's a variety of types of arthritis, from inflammatory types, rheumatoid, as many people are aware of. There's other inflammatory processes. And then another thing that we see with certain other medical issues is what's called avascular necrosis, where the blood supply to the hip more commonly than the knee for what I do can get disrupted for a variety of reasons, and that can impact the health and well-being of the joint and can cause problems. You know, we also in sports will, and I know Russell McKissick was here I think a month ago talking about sports-related injuries. But some of these sports-related injuries can set forth some trauma to the hip, to the knee, that can then manifest into arthritic changes earlier as opposed to kind of the typical 65 to 85 age group that is most commonly seen in joint replacement clinics.
Here's a text message from one of our listeners, and they're saying that they are starting to feel some joint pain in their hip, and they don't know if this is a sign that they might need hip replacement, but they said it's quite painful on some days, and some days it just feels normal. No problem. It
so
comes
that,
and goes.
That is actually a very, very important comment. So arthritis and the symptoms that bring it along start out as kind of a waxing and waning. A lot of folks in the early stages will have more good days than bad days. And at that time, when I consult with them, that is one where we try to do some activity modification, exercises, some anti-inflammatories, maybe some physical therapy and injections. But the natural history of arthritis is one that does progress. And so folks will eventually start to have more bad days than good days. Okay, and so when I talk to him about surgery, as much as I like to think I'm an important guy as an orthopedic surgeon, I'm not. Heart surgeons and brain surgeons are far more important. But I tell them, you know, when the bad days start to outnumber the good days, when you can't do your normal activities of daily living, you're very impaired in that regard, then it is sometimes time to consider a joint replacement surgery. As far as getting back to the comment on hip and whether or not it's the hip, you know, there's a lot that lives in that area. But hip pathology tends to cause groin pain, occasionally pain that will radiate down the front of the thigh into the knee, on the side of the hip and in the buttocks. Stiffness when you first get up that then kind of eases off after about 15 to 30 minutes. But then with activities, walking, standing, stairs, hills, inclines, exacerbates pain. Sitting down, resting may alleviate it. Those are all signs of a likely underlying hip pathology.
Now, you mentioned obesity. We certainly have an epidemic of that throughout the Southeast, especially. If you dropped 20 or 30 pounds, would you notice a difference?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I have this conversation in clinic all the time, and it's not that I am trying to punish patients for being overweight. I love to eat. If you looked at my body mass index, I am obese. But as far as surgery is concerned, there are a lot of complications that can arise in the setting of uncontrolled obesity and the medical issues that come along with it. That being said, weight loss is very, very critical, not only for your overall health and well-being, latter success with hip replacement or knee replacement surgery, but for instance, the knee sees about 7 to 8 times your body weight when you go up and down stairs, and so very small fluctuations in weight can have very large ramifications and symptoms.
Very good. Our phone number, by the way, if you have a message you want to ask, you can text or talk, whichever you prefer, 615-893-1450. We have orthopedic surgeon with us, Dr. Lucas Ruth, and he's with the Tennessee Orthopedic Group there, Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance, right at St. Thomas Rutherford Hospital in the DePaul building. So head on over there, and they're there to help you. Have another text from a listener who's saying that they had some problems with a trigger finger, and somebody said you need to get a thyroid shot. What will that do?
So trigger finger is in the hand, the tendons that flex our fingers run within a sheath of sorts that prevents them from bowstringing, and it allows for appropriate biomechanics of the finger. With the trigger finger, you get inflammation within that tunnel, and as that occurs, the tendon can start to grow a little bit of an outgrowth, essentially swelling. Okay. A lot of times, conservative treatments are very beneficial for it. The one of the injection is actually a corticosteroid injection. So a steroid injection helps to relieve the inflammation that is occurring in that fibrosis tunnel, but allows for symptom relief. Also, a combination of bracing and hand therapy. But in some cases that do not respond, I've got a couple of hand surgeon colleagues, Kyle Joyner and Sean Brown. They can do a same-day type surgery where you just release the constriction to allow for the finger to function more appropriately.
What causes things like that to happen?
You know, diabetes actually can contribute to it. Some inflammatory conditions can. Some of it's an overuse phenomenon. And, you know, it's been, I'm a little bit farther removed from some of the hand intricacies. I would actually have to defer to Doctors Joyner and Brown for that. But it is a very, fortunately, it's a very straightforward condition to deal with. And if it does require surgery, it's a very, very minor endeavor, one with very little setback as far as healing times.
Now, you mentioned overuse. Is that also something that attributes to hip and knee needs for replacement? Somebody's overusing those?
To some degree, okay. You know, a lot of the health of cartilage, which is the soft cushion on the ends of our bones, is dictated by usage. In runners, you'll actually see that the cartilage is thicker than non-runners because the constant wear and the activity actually will build up a stronger cartilage. That being said, with overuse, oftentimes do come some injury. If your form isn't exact, if you play sports and or are running on uneven ground or have some sort of injury, that can alter the internal anatomy of the of any joint and can set off a cascade of events that later will potentially cause some arthritic problems. Not all the time, but yes, overuse can be one cause of joint-related issues. But a lot of overuse injuries tend to manifest more as muscular pulls, tendon irritation, etc.
Our phone number is 615-893-1450. Our guest this morning, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Lucas Ruth. And if you have questions about pain management, if you have questions about hip or knee replacements, maybe you're thinking about doing that, maybe you're not sure, but you think you might be a candidate for that, we have somebody here who they'll be happy to help you this morning. 615-893-1450. We're going to check on the traffic and weather. We'll be right back. Stay with us. And if you have a question, talk or text at 615-893-1450.
This is Rutherford County's Blue Raider Station, FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, WGNS, Murfreesboro.
As the Christmas season is approaching, there are many parties out there and last-minute gifts, and Demas's is here to be able to help you along with all those things. Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. One of the things that we have to offer is obviously our gift cards, and the gift cards come in any denomination. We have our seasonings that makes a perfect gift. We have Demas's classic T-shirts. Demas's also now has catering to be able to serve you and to be able to take care of you. Any of this information is available online, www.demasrestaurants.com.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City. If your fish tank is looking a little dated, now is the perfect time to freshen it up before hosting holiday events. Here at Animal City, brighten up your living space with an aquarium or new background for your reptiles. Animal City would love to help you with your pet needs. And for the pet lover on your list, an Animal City gift card makes the perfect gift. This is Amanda from Animal City. Come do business with Animal City at 919 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Good morning. Still heavy traffic now making its way towards Nashville on I-24 going westbound up through the Hickory Hollow area. Give yourself extra time. If you're headed towards Mine Eagle Mountain on 24 East, it could be very dangerous going up that mountain and coming down the other side. Traffic still moving right along at this point. 840 headed over to Franklin, Williamson County. Get the lowest prices on most of your airline tickets. Smart fares save you 70% off. Call 1-800-915-2644. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Thank you, Chuck. What about that Murfreesboro weather brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro?
We'll see periods of rain and snow mixing at times here for this afternoon with cloudy sky conditions and temperatures steady early, then slowly falling. Winds out of the north at 10 to 15, gusting as high as 25. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 39.
Hi, I'm Shelly Rigsby, and I'm the new branch manager of First National Bank of Murfreesboro. There are great things happening at First National Bank on Mercury Boulevard. We understand each of our customers want confidential banking with convenience, and our goal is to make banking easy with a great customer experience. Let First National Bank be your first choice. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, member FDIC.
consumer questions, money concerns, and more. This is Clark Howard, and I'll take your calls on Rutherford County's Place to Talk.
Weekdays 11 to 1 on WGNS.
But you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire. Two-faced, unafraid, the plans that we made, walking in a winter wonderland.
Congratulations going out to our birthday winner this morning. The person who wins is Matthew Moscato. Matthew, happy birthday to you. You get your choice of some goodies from Simply Pure Sweets Bakery and Cafe, now in their new location, 128 North Church Street on the east side of the square in Uptown Murfreesboro. Also, want to say congratulations to our good neighbor of the day, Cornell Bingham, will receive some flowers from Ryan's Flowers, Coffee, and Gifts. Go by and see them, won't you? 117 South Academy Street. The person who nominated Cornell said she's always there to help friends and is a loving person. Tell us about your good neighbors. Send us their name, address, and phone number right here at WGNS. Welcome back on the Action Line this morning. Orthopedic surgeon with us, Dr. Lucas Ruth, and he's with TOA. If you have questions, give us a call, 615-893-1450. And it's very much in the news, and that is the need for flu shots. We're getting all sorts of reports from schools having kids out, large numbers with flus. Hopefully, when school closes for the holiday season, that will make a difference to get the kids at home maybe and keep those germs in the house instead of sharing them. Is that how people just... they spread the germs around by exposure.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in full disclosure, as an orthopedic surgeon, I don't want to speak too in depth for it, but my wife, Christina Ruth, is a pediatrician. She's with the Murfreesboro Medical Clinic. And in speaking with her, we have been seeing high volumes of flu, not only in the pediatric population, but in talking with some of my colleagues in the hospital, that it's really rapidly going through the community. And, you know, the flu shots that we have now are very safe. There are very minimal side effects, and certainly with it being so widespread, not only practicing good hygiene, washing hands, keeping hand sanitizers on hand, but getting the flu shot is imperative.
And I was looking at some of the major areas where flu is rampant right now. This is from the CDC, and the 10 states that have the most, Tennessee is one of them. It's not over the Southeast. I mean, it's all over the nation. Of course, Alabama, Tennessee, and South Carolina, they're part of this general area, but they're the only states in this vicinity. Unless you want to include Louisiana and Texas, they're in there. But Alaska, Massachusetts, Nevada, New Mexico, it's not a respecter of territory.
No, unfortunately, it does not discriminate.
And the ones, I guess, who are hurt the most are the senior citizens.
Yeah, the very young and the very old, where the immune system hasn't yet had time to fully develop, are very, very... at risk. And, you know, with the upcoming Christmas holidays, a lot of families are going to be congregating with, at least for my family, a mixture of young children that may be in daycares, which tend to really harbor these viral illnesses, and then mixing up with grandmothers and great grandparents, it really is a very at-risk environment. So any attempt to mitigate that with the flu shot would be recommended.
So if you have not had your flu shot, don't wait around, because I understand it takes about 2 weeks to actually start working. So you don't want to have a flu shot and then go out and expose yourself.
Correct, correct. Your body has to develop that immunity.
Let's go back to our topic this morning. Dr. Ruth is with us, and he's talking about hip and knee replacement, things of that sort, pain in the body. We have a question. Does the drug Atenolol, or I may have missed up, Atenolol?
Atenolol?
I guess that's it. I don't use that word every day. And Lucertin, does that cause joint pain, especially in your legs?
To my knowledge, no. So Atenolol and Losartan are both common medications employed for blood pressure. One is a beta blocker. The other is what's called an angiotensin receptor blocker that work together to combat high blood pressure. But to the best of my knowledge, I am not aware of any leg pain or joint-related complications as associated with those two.
Okay, well, that's good. Let's talk a little more about hip and knee replacement. Cool. I understand that there is, now we can't use the word non-invasive, but you can be in and out more quickly now, is that right?
Very, very correct. You know, hip and knee reconstruction has been a long has been in medicine for quite some time, and there have been multiple iterations of the procedures, ones that required far more extensive surgical dissection, implantation of larger implants, and with time and with development, our implants have become kind of smaller, more compact, more fit the normal anatomy better. But also our instrumentation required to get them into the appropriate position has changed. Furthermore, one of the big advancements has come on part of anesthesiologists and delivery of what we call regional anesthesia. So instead of having general anesthesia where you're completely put to sleep, you have a breathing tube, we're now able to do joint replacements with a single injection into the spine called a spinal anesthetic. What this does is not only provides the pain relief during the surgery, but it also has been shown to reduce blood loss during surgery, infectious complications after surgery, risk for blood clot, but it also allows for a much more rapid recovery after surgery. The average hip or knee replacement takes me anywhere about 30 to 40 minutes to do. The recovery process, whereby 15, 20 years ago, you used to stay in the hospital up to 7 days. Now we're getting a vast majority of the people out no later than 2 days after surgery. In my training and in my current practice, I'm actually doing a lot of same-day surgeries where you're able to have a hip or a knee replacement and be able to discharge home from the hospital or from the ambulatory surgery center, usually within 2 to 4 hours after a procedure.
So with the quick being out of the hospital quickly, does that make it less painful?
So the pain is more a function of the spinal anesthetics, and then with a better understanding of how the brain senses pain, we can target that with a variety of medications that function differently, but together have a better cumulative effect. But the biggest thing as far as short stay in the hospital is, or even transitioning into an ambulatory surgery center, is that we don't subject you to the illnesses, the sicknesses that are inherent within a hospital, okay? And not only going to the preoperative holding area, the operating room, a joint replacement surgery is, or patient is typically very healthy, and to mix them in with the sick patients with pneumonias or other infections within the hospital, it does subject you to the potential for being at risk for an infectious complication. And so trying to limit that time in the hospital, less exposure to these infectious pathogens, has been shown to really improve the outcomes.
You mentioned something just a moment ago about the brain's conception of the pain. Mm-hmm. Is this the direction that we're going in medicine, where we can control what our brain is perceiving and reduce our perception of pain?
That is true. You know, pain specialists are very much in tune with it. certain nerve fibers actually transmit different types of pain responses from the area of pain to the brain. And then we have a variety of different medications to target it. You know, the hot topic right now in the United States is the opioid epidemic. Prior to a couple years ago, coming into a doctor's office, you might walk out with a handful of narcotic pain medicines, but those really don't get at the entire pain response. A mixture of nerve modulating medications, sometimes antidepressant medications that, while though may sound stigmatized, do help to control some pain. Anti-inflammatories, Tylenols, have allowed to develop multimodal pain management programs that have allowed us, one, to get excellent pain control, but also reduce the usage of narcotic pain medications in both non-operative and surgical-type pain.
We have another text message here from a listener who says they are scheduled to have their knee replaced sometime soon. And how important is exercise after the replacement?
With a knee replacement, it is the most critical part of the procedure. You know, I am doing a very easy thing in doing the knee replacement. This is something that I do up to 15 or so a week. And so for me and my team, it's very much a very routine process. The knee is a finicky joint, and it's one that if you don't use it and really work hard with physical therapy, it will try to stiffen up. And so, you know, I tell patients that I'm only doing a very small part of the job in doing the knee replacement, but the brunt of the work lies on their shoulders to really work hard with the therapist, take the appropriate pain medications so that you're comfortable to be able to do your exercises. Because it is one that is very much contingent on how much effort you put into it.
So this is something, if you want to reduce your risk of having some of these issues, we're back again to move.
Correct.
You need to keep moving.
Correct. You know, the hip joint is completely different. The hip is a very easy joint to recover from. There's actually a lot of emerging literature and peer-reviewed journals that show that you don't need any formal physical therapy after a total joint replacement other than to walk. But with the complexity of a knee joint, it's one that physical therapy and aggressive attention to range of motion is imperative.
Do you almost have to learn to walk again, or is it that severe?
No. So, you know, a hip and knee replacement, I kind of liken to a dental crown procedure. You know, we're not just removing in bulk the entirety of the joint. We are just resurfacing the lost cartilage on the end of the joint and essentially putting a new crown, if you would, on the end of the joint. And so the stabilizing structures, the muscles, are not affected as much. Yes, we have to do some dissection that imparts some weakness to it. But as far as getting up and walking, within a 2 to 3 hour time frame of any hip or knee replacement, I've got my patients up and walking right away. You can put all your weight through the leg. We have you use a walker just for balance, you know, with pain and with some of the medications, you might be a little bit unstable, and so we don't want any falls. But we have you up and walking and doing stairs in a very, very rapid manner, which is a lot different than how things were done 10, 15 years ago.
We have another text. This one says, I am 67 years old, and I had a hip replacement last year. How long should this last, and is there anything I can do to make it last longer?
So as far as joint replacement surgeons, we all have our own kind of personal beliefs on activities after joint replacement. With my patients, after 4 months, I don't limit exercises. I've had people that have run marathons and triathlons and carried on their normal activities. When we do a joint replacement, we're putting in metal and plastic implants. The metals are very, very successful. The plastics have developed the most, and that has imparted the longevity that we're now seeing. Prior to 2000, the plastics wore out at an alarming rate, and so a lot of us were more conservative about saying what you can and cannot do. The manufacturers, however, figured out that if we remanufactured the plastic inserts that go into these things, that we're seeing about a 10 to 100-fold reduction in the wear rate. And so this imparts a great improvement in the longevity of the implant. And so at 20 to 25 years, we're seeing about 90 to 95% success rates. Based on the latest research with the new generation plastics, we anticipate that it might even shift further to the right and have improved longevity.
So just replacements prior to 2000 had the less strength on the plastics?
Those were older generation plastics. That does not mean that they were going to fail. Where I trained in Washington, D.C., the founders of the group were very big pioneers in joint replacement surgery. And during my year of training, I saw joint replacements that had been in for 35 or 40 years that were placed by them, and they were still going strong and having excellent outcomes. That being said, I do like to follow up with my patients every 5 years, similar to going to your primary care physician periodically to have blood pressure or blood work done. Every 5 years, I like to have x-rays to see if there are any subtle changes that are occurring, and then we may make some alterations to hopefully prolong the longevity. Otherwise, I don't place any restrictions on my patients.
That's good. For people who are have been here for a good while, of course, TOA, whenever somebody thinks TOA, they think Dr. Tommy Johns. Who just a phenomenal person and passed away just recently. But he started that heart that everybody knows about that TOA has. So you're with a good group there. We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be back and can take some more of your questions. But remember, we're in the final segment of the program. If you have a question, you need to get it in quickly because we just have a few minutes left in the broadcast.
Get your good neighbor events to us in writing 2 weeks before they occur. We'll put them on the radio and the internet. WGNS, AM, FM, and online.
This is Ron Hall with Fair Construction Company. Whether you're dealing with your insurance company for restoration or if you're just wanting to remodel your home, we can help at Fair Construction. If you or your spouse is looking around your home and it's looking like it's time to update, we can do anything as far as painting, new flooring, anything that you're looking for. As we've said before, if you can dream it, we can turn it into reality.
Give us a call at 615-893-6120. That's Fair Construction Company.
Hi, this is Norman and Beth Brown.
I was at a restaurant one morning and the waitress says, there's three little kittens trapped under an air conditioning unit. And I was like, oh my goodness, we're in the business. Let me call my husband.
And I received the call. I immediately dispatched the tech and we rescued the kittens.
Three little kittens, so sweet. Meow.
Yep. Everyone goes beyond the call of duty at Roscoe Brown with heating and air, water purification, insulation, and more.
Roscoe Brown.
RoscoeBrown.com.
Hi, this is Greg Tidwell with Bell Jewelers. You know, we have the nicest staff. Our employees have years of experience, and they're here to help guide you, not direct you, but guide you so you're able to pick the perfect present for this Christmas season. Bell Jewelers is pleased to be Murfreesboro's most trusted jewelry store.
Check out our website, belljeweler.com.
Bell Jewelers is located at 821 Northwest Broad, right across the streets from Toots Restaurant.
We'll see periods of rain and snow mixing at times here for this afternoon with cloudy sky conditions and temperatures steady early then slowly falling. Winds out of the north at 10 to 15, gusting as high as 25. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 39.
Hi, this is Gator with Tire World Off-Road. We're your local rough country dealer. So when you're ready to add some character to your rig, ask for Gator at Tire World Off-Road on Memorial Boulevard.
This is Sean Brown at Tire World on Broad Street. Online at tireworld.us.
This is Chip Walters, and you're listening to Rutherford County's Blue Raider Station.
WGNS, your good neighbor station.
Rutherford County's place to talk.
Dr. Lucas Ruth is our guest this morning, and he's with TOA. Now, that's right there on the campus of St. Thomas Rutherford Hospital. Our phone number is 615-893-1450. And when you dial that number, you're in control. You can choose to talk or text. Here's another text message. My dad is 89 years old and needs a hip replacement, but the doctors don't recommend it because they said that he would come out of surgery with dementia because of being put to sleep. How do you feel about that? Would a spinal work for him?
So that's a good question. You know, I think anecdotally, I'm trying to think back. The oldest patient that I've done a joint replacement on was either 97 or 98. You know, a lot goes into the decision for a joint replacement. You know, it is an elective procedure, and so we want to set patients up for success. We want to assess what medical comorbidities with regards to the heart, to the lung, et cetera, goes into it. And so that's part of the preoperative optimization protocol. But if your father is safe and cleared from his primary care physician, then I do not believe that a hip replacement would be out of the question. You bring up a very good point that the spinal anesthetic is a much more useful tool in patients with advanced age because it does limit the amount of cognitive decline after surgery. People tend to wake up a lot quicker without the fog associated with general anesthesia, and I myself and the anesthesiologist at St. Thomas Rutherford Hospital are huge advocates for regional spinal anesthesia in that patient population.
Okay, so you feel like this could work out? There would be a solution.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right. Our phone number, 615-893-1450. We're talking this morning about hip replacements, knee replacements, things of that sort, surgery, pain management. Pain management is a pretty broad area, but nobody wants pain. Is this getting to be a science that's improving dramatically, pain management?
I believe so. You know, in recent years, which has kind of spurred on the epidemic we alluded to earlier, the quick and easy fix was to just give some opioid pain medications and see if that would help. Now we have more and more pain specialists. We actually have several in the TOA organization that are very qualified at doing injections throughout the body to address the cause of pain as opposed to just trying to put a Band-Aid on it with medications. And so doing a series of steroid injections or ablation-type procedures to mitigate pain at the location, but also with pain specialists, anesthesiologists, understanding the delivery of pain from the location to the brain and the pharmacology industry targeting different pathways along that has really brought a lot of success with non-surgical means.
In speaking of pain, it seems that some of these minimally invasive surgeries that seems to be the key to having less pain. The larger opening to get into the body, the longer it takes to heal, and the longer you have pain.
Yeah, certainly the in the operating room, we are very delicate in handling the tissues because we don't want to impart trauma. Surgery in itself is trauma. It's no different than twisting your ankle or getting in a car accident. It elicits the same inflammatory process. And in the operating room, while we have to do whatever necessary to, from my standpoint, to reconstruct the joint or fix a broken fracture appropriately, we try to limit any additional trauma. Meticulous attention to soft tissue management, appropriate placement of retractors to hopefully make the process as painless as possible. There are also a variety of injections that we do at the time of surgery to help provide some sustained relief after surgery. The anesthesiologist, in addition to the spinal, have some nerve blocks that they're able to do. And then I commonly will do a field block where I inject a mixture of anti-inflammatories and numbing medicine around the incision and in the soft tissues to also reduce postoperative pain.
As often happens, we are just about a minute left in the show, and we've got a bunch of phone calls. And I'm awfully sorry we're not going to be able to go to the phone calls. We just don't have enough time. But in our final minute, how important, if you're feeling any pain, if you're concerned about hips, knees, how important is early detection?
Early detection from a joint replacement, it's important, you know. I mean, people work all their lives. They work and then finally get to the age of retirement and want to enjoy the things that they can do, hiking, getting out in the outdoors, having a good time. And if you let joint problems control that, it will ultimately impede upon the retirement and the quality of life. And so if there are any patients out there that have any concerns about it, I implore you to speak not only with your primary care docs, but get in and see us.
Very definitely. That is Dr. Lucas Ruth with us from TOA right there at St. Thomas Rutherford Hospital. Hey, have a great day.
All right,
stay
thank you
with us. Much more to come.